Luke 17 with me, please. We will read verses 5 and 6 together, but just to give you a little bit of background, in the end of chapter 16, there's a parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and that ends with Abraham saying to the rich man, who was also a church member, but who did not put his faith and trust in the Word of God. He said that surely if somebody would be resurrected from the dead, then they would believe him. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, the written Word of God, neither will they be persuaded though one rises from the dead. So it's the faith in the trust. And then he goes on in chapter 17. He's talking to his disciples. It's impossible that offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea that he should offend one of these little ones. And again, he's talking about little ones, those who are young in the faith, in the Word, and trusting to him. It's better if somebody's going to be a stumbling block to cause someone to stumble and distrust the Word of God, not put faith in it. It's better that he has a stone around his neck and that he just dies before he does that. Then he says to take to yourselves, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive. Here, if we believe the Word of God, when the Word calls us to repent in obedience to the Word, there's hope for us, but we need to repent. And the apostle said to him, let's read this together. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by its roots, be planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about a subject like faith, it's important for us to remember that faith is just not some vague or nebulous idea that's floating around somewhere, but it's always faith in something or in someone. Faith is a trust or a confidence that you have in a person or in persons. And that's essential to living. If you thought that the wheels of your car would come off if you're going on along 401 here at 100 kilometers an hour, if you thought that that might happen, if you didn't have faith in your car, you wouldn't get in that thing, right? And especially when it comes to an aircraft, this machine is going to take you up to 37,000 feet. You have to have some confidence in the company that makes it and in the pilot that's going to pilot this thing. As we, you know, very painfully have heard in the news recently what happened in Germany when 150 people lost their lives because they trusted the pilot and he was not trustworthy. But in ordinary everyday things, we do have to live by faith. If we would distrust every person and everything, we would live in paranoia. We would be totally upset and we would be living in anguish the whole time. And so, for us, it's most important that we trust and put our faith in Jesus Christ. And why is that? Well, because there's no one else that can give us eternal life. No one. The wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners, and we're all going to die, as we heard earlier. But Jesus Christ came into this world to die for sinners, so that we can escape the judgment of God when we confess our sins and seek forgiveness. And that's where our faith begins, right? So under the theme, faith as a mustard seed, first we want to consider again, just briefly as a summary, our need for our faith in Christ. And then secondly, and mostly focus in on the works of faith, because James says that faith without works is dead. It has to be a living faith. Again, our trust must be in Christ to save us. Do we trust all the promises that He makes in the Word? And do we know that Christ is trustworthy? And if we know that, how do we know that? Well, because it's written in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation. It's a beautiful picture of how faithful He is and how powerful He is to complete all of His promises that He makes. John 1:2 tells us that all things were made by Him, and through Him, without Him, not anything was made that was made. And Colossians 1:15, that God through Christ is reconciling all things to Himself on earth and heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And we heard the good news earlier from 2 Corinthians 8:9, that even though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that through His poverty you might become rich. So there's no one else. There's no other Creator, no other Savior like Jesus Christ, who has proven His love for sinners by dying on the cross. That's the foundation of our faith. And if someone would ask, is He really trustworthy? Does He complete what He promises? And our overwhelming answer is yes, praise God. All of history proves that He is trustworthy. And so we believe what it says here in Luke 17:6, of what the Lord Jesus Christ enables us as believers who trust in Him, what they can do. Faith like a mustard seed. By faith, like a mustard seed, we could say to a mulberry tree, be pulled up by your roots and be planted into the sea, and it will obey us. Now, how is that possible? How should we understand this? You know, you don't hear too many Christians, you know, talking to trees and saying, be plucked up and be cast into the sea. Hopefully. Our faith in Christ is the means and the instrument by which Christ does the seemingly impossible things in the lives of those who trust Him and have confidence in Him. So if we can have such faith in Christ that will save us from the wrath of God and completely have confidence that we will be with Him for all of eternity, then we can also trust Him to enable us to do the works that He has foreordained for us to do. And what are those works? Well, let's consider the works of faith. As members of the Church of Christ, and we've already read this verse, Matthew 28, verse 19, but let's read it again if you have the scripture. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Luke 24:47, as that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name to all the nations. So to help His disciples and also us as the Church of Christ to understand how our faith is to bear witness for Him, Jesus uses this example of a mustard seed. Now, a mustard seed is one of the smallest and the most, you might say, insignificant seeds as an example of faith. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it's so tiny, it's like a very small grain of sand. That's how tiny it is. You can hardly see it. Especially some of us. We need glasses. But its effectiveness or its fruit is by no means limited to its size. God has made it so small and so insignificant that it can accomplish great things. How does that happen? Well, the sower plants this little seed in good soil in order to make it fruitful. Does the seed grow and get any bigger when it's in the ground? No. The seed stays the same insignificant little self. But it starts to sprout, sends out its roots, and up comes this little stem out of the ground. And that's only the beginning of it. in just a short time, there's all kind of activity coming out of that little seed as it grows, and it comes into this, becomes an enormous plant. But now, what would happen if this little seed is not planted in soil? Well, you know what would happen. There would be no plant. There would be no fruit. So what is the Lord teaching us here? The Lord is teaching us, as we have seen already from what we said, our confidence has to be in the Word of God. And that good soil is the Word of God. And Jesus says, who is the Word personified in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And then he further explains in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we can only be fruitful if this word abides in us, remains in us, if it's part of us. We must trust and obey that word. Our faith must be planted in the Word of God in order to bear fruit. And then when we're doing what Jesus tells us to do, then our faith in Him enables us to do unbelievable things. So many times in Scripture, Jesus draws attention to the fact that our faith in Him is shown by our love for Him, and our love for Him is shown in our obedience to Him. As He says in Luke 8:21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and do it. And let's read John 14:21 together, where Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The Lord will prove how much he loves us if we obey him. And our faith is never separated from the works in the Bible, as Ephesians 2:8-10 rightly ties the two things together. For by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And then right after that, it says, for we are the workmanship created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. So we should not think that in history, when some of God's saints were called upon to do a great act of faith, that at that moment in time, God gave them a booster full of vitamins, you know, of faith, or of steroids, of faith steroids, or something like that. That's not how it works. Being fruitful to the Lord comes very naturally and organically when you live a life of obedience in serving the Lord. And why is that? It is because just as that small mustard seed has to be put into the soil for its life and sustenance in order for it to grow, so our faith must be put into the soil of the Word of God by the Spirit of God at work in us. If that mustard seed is not put in the soil, there will be no fruit. And so it is with our faith in Christ. The power to do the impossible comes from the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit works in us from the living Christ who is in heaven as our head, the head of the church. And by yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, by believing and trusting in that word becomes part of us. It becomes part of who we are. It forms our way of thinking and our living. And that is what enables us to do the will of God. So through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we are able to do impossible things. As verse 6 says, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled by its roots and be planted into the sea, and it will obey you. And that is impossible, right? Yes. For us it is impossible. But no more than, for example, what Moses did. You know the story of Moses. when he put his faith and his trust in the Lord, and he had to make a conscious choice as a young man whether he was going to serve the Lord as he was growing up in Pharaoh's house, or if he was going to renounce his God and his people. He could have become a great ruler in Egypt as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have sat on Pharaoh's throne. But he left all of that by believing and obeying the word of God. And as a result, God used him as a mighty instrument in his hand to perform the 10 plagues, for one thing, but then leading God's people out of Egypt. And by obeying and trusting the Lord, he was able to bring about the destruction of that powerful Egyptian empire. Pharaoh and his whole army drowned in the Red Sea, while 1 million of God's people were set free from slavery. Now that's far more miraculous than pulling up a mulberry tree and transplanting it into the sea. And how did Moses do that? Because as we read in Hebrews 11:25, you want to read it with me? By faith he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Just like Abraham before him, so Moses looked beyond the earthly things and set his mind on heavenly things already as a young man. And if you're familiar with the Old Testament stories of Joseph and Daniel and David, other young men of faith, some of you are still young in years that are here. Some of these young men were maybe 16, 17 years old. But from their youth on, they wanted to serve the Lord. They sought to obey the Lord. So you have beautiful examples of how this little mustard seed brought about unbelievable things, impossible things they were able to do by faith. David, by faith, as a 16-year-old boy, slaying Goliath, or Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream so that an emperor would say, "Truly, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords," or Joseph ruling over an empire. Moses didn't decide to lead God's people out of Egypt. David had no idea that he would be called away from the sheep, his father's sheep, when Samuel came down to anoint him. And he certainly had no idea what God had planned for him to do. The good works that God had ordained for these young men to do, they learned as they walked obediently, day by day, by faith and trust in the Lord. Step by step, the Lord led them and encouraged them as they continually sought to be faithful to their God. It's the same for you, you young men that are here this afternoon, you young women. The Lord will lead you step by step if you're faithful to in the situation where you are now in your life, the things that the Lord has set before you to do. If you're faithful in those things, and the Lord knows your heart, that you really want to serve the Lord in this, He will take you to the next step. And He will give you more work to do, more difficult work to do, more extensive work to do, as He prepares you. And even for some of the not that many younger children here, but, you know, the story in 2 Kings 5 is always so impressive, how this young, maybe 8-year-old girl, 10 years maybe, was used of the Lord. She was a slave girl, and Naaman was the fellow who was in charge. He was the general of the Syrian army who was in charge to send all these bands into Israel to rob them, and perhaps her parents were even killed by him. But she ends up in his house, and she witnesses to him in the house of the enemy. And yet the life of this tough Syrian general was conquered by the grace of God. It was changed because of the testimony of this young girl. It was so convincing that the word of God was so powerful enough to heal him from his leprosy, that he believed in her, and in the end, he became a believer himself. And so, dear brothers and sisters, the point that the Lord is making is that your faith in Christ can accomplish unbelievable things also today. And why is that? Because these are the works that Christ, the head of the church, has ordained for His faithful church to do. If you're doing what the Lord has told you by His Spirit and His Word, you will see unbelievable things happening in your life. What kind of things will you see? Well, what is the greatest work that the Lord has called you to do? What is the most impossible thing that you can think of in your life? What is the greatest achievement that you hope to achieve in your life? Is it not to be used of the Lord? So that those who are still dead in their trespasses and sins, who are blind and crippled and dead in sin, can come alive by faith in Christ? Is that not a marvelous thing? That by your faith in Christ, others may come to Christ, that they may see the beauty of Christ that you see, the glory of Christ, the power of Christ in His Word and in your own life, and that they too may come to feel the love of Christ in their heart. Isn't that the greatest gift that you can give to anyone else? That they too may come to know the tender mercy of Christ and the forgiveness of their sins, even as you have experienced that in your life? The impossible thing that you can do by your faith in Christ is that by telling others to put their faith in Christ, they too may receive eternal life as you have received it. And eternal life begins now, right? It's that joy and that peace that you experience in your heart and in your life as you go about your business from day to day and living here in testimony to Him of what God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have done in your life as a witness to the one true living God. If your faith in Christ would bear that kind of fruit, isn't that impossible? Just as impossible as saying to a mulberry tree, get up and be cast into the sea. It's a far greater work. Only possible, obviously, by the Lord at work in you. But it's by your love and your obedience and your adoration and worship of Christ that the Lord uses. Both in your own family, if you have children, you have brothers and sisters, fellow workers, other students, that even as you're bowing down to worship the Lord as the one true living God, that they may bow down with you, alongside of you, that they too may come to repent and humble themselves before the Lord and praise Him and worship Him and love Him. This is the work that the Lord has given to His bride, the Church of Christ. So to you, dear brothers and sisters, and I want to encourage you to use your faith in Christ that God has given you to bring others to Christ, to teach those around you in your walk of life, in the words that come from your mouth, the things that you do every day, how much you love Christ, how faithful you want to be to Him. Also, your weaknesses and your failings, you can be very honest, and you need to be very honest about that so that they don't think that you're some kind of a perfect person in yourself. But that in all these things you show that He is worthy of all praise and adoration as the Lord, the one true Lord and Savior, as the one true God who has come and sent His Son in the flesh to die for sinners. That tiny little bit of faith, as small as a mustard seed, the Lord wants to use for His glory. But in order to do that, we need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You need to obey His voice. As He speaks to you from His Word and Spirit, you can be misled. Our own evil hearts will mislead us away from the Lord. We need to be brought back again and again, every day. That's what living by faith is. It's a new day, every day, to walk with the Lord. If we walked with the Lord yesterday, wonderful. But we need to walk with Him again today. in all circumstances of life, because that's how we come to know our Savior better and better from day to day. That you know He's with you if you have a serious accident, if you end up in a hospital or a wheelchair or you lose your job or whatever happens. In all of these circumstances, the Lord will bring you through to encourage you to continually trust in Him. And in all these situations, you know, your testimony, if you think of Johnny when in her wheelchair and how the Lord has used her testimony of Christ to millions of people to encourage them. You know, the Lord used that to bring glory to Himself. And hopefully that won't necessarily be the case for you. There may be not in a wheelchair, but in every other way. But even if that would be the case for any one of us, see that there we can glorify the Lord to serve Him, because He bought us with His own precious blood. And that's the bottom line, isn't it, of our faith? That we know no matter what happens, He's bought us. He made us His own. You're precious to Him. He's given you the Holy Spirit to live in you, to encourage you, to counsel you, to help you. Isn't that the greatest comfort in your life? That He is there with you always? It should be the greatest encouragement to you. And then to whatever works He has chosen for you to do, the Holy Spirit is there to help you so that you may bear fruit for Him. That you can trust Him in every circumstances. So, dear brothers and sisters, in summary, God has raised you up in this generation. Today is the day that He has called you. Today, in all the circumstances of life, right where He has placed you, He is calling out to you to serve Him. Those works that are done by those who have a childlike faith, like a mustard seed, men and women and young people and children, in all circumstances of life, He calls you to continue to trust in the promises of His Word. And in spite of the many temptations, that you remain obedient to Him. In spite of discouragements and opposition, that you continue to work for the Lord. That you continue to show the marvel of who He is and all that you know about Him. And the Lord has promised us in 1 Peter 1 verse 5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And will it not be a glorious day when our faith will be made sight, and then we will see Jesus face to face, and when we hear from His own lips, and may it be true for each and every one of us. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And if you do not know the Lord, again, I urge you, as I did earlier, to trust in Him, to put your faith in Him. Man is not faithful. He can't accomplish all that He even promises to do. We can't even do that as fathers and mothers sometimes, as good as our intentions are. But Christ is perfect. He has the authority to complete every promise that He ever makes. He is trustworthy. He is able. Turn to Him and confide in Him, and you will always be satisfied forever and know the joy of His fellowship and His love. Amen.